apologies. My apologies to everyone. I mistook the night. I thought we were still on Wednesday.
Okay, I'll call the meeting to order. Will you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Will the administrative assistant call the roll, please?
Yes. Chair Machen?
Here.
Vice Chair Ebling?
Here.
Commissioner Durr? Commissioner Earp?
Finally here.
Commissioner Gallagher? Commissioner Jones?
Present.
Commissioner Liang?
Here.
Commissioner Lopez? Commissioner Quill?
I'm here.
Commissioner Durr and Commissioner Lopez are excused. Commissioner Gallagher is absent. We have quorum.
Would you administer the oath, please? We have a few speakers.
Those wishing to speak, please stand and raise your right hand. Do you solemnly affirm that the testimony you are about to give before this body will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? If so, please say I do. Thank you. May be seated.
I assume we don't need a closed session. The consent agenda will be next, and the consent items are considered routine in nature and may be enacted in one motion. All public and non-public hearings will be opened at one time. Any item may be discussed separately upon request of a member of the Planning Commission or a member of the public. We have two items that are proposed for the consent agenda. The minutes of June 13th, 2017, and item two is the extension of time for conditional use permit 1414.
Yes, good evening, Honorable Chairman and Commissioners. As you've indicated, we do have the minutes of June the 13th, and we have a CUP extension for a Carl's Jr. that's been proposed at the southwest corner of Inland Center Drive and Mill Street. This project was originally approved on April 15th of 2015, and we're just asking this to be extended for one more year. We do have a presentation if needed.
Yes, we do have a speaker, a person requesting to speak on that, Robert Hernandez.
Yes, sir.
Yes, would you take the mic and spell your last name and say your address.
Okay, last name is Hernandez. That's H-E-R-N-A-N-D-E-Z. And I reside at 1583 South Huntington Street in the city of Pomona. And basically I'm just here just to make sure that we can get that extension. Clarify anything with the board of why we need the extension, so if you do have any questions, I'm prepared to answer.
Any questions? I hear none. Oops, I see one.
So I just want to state for the proposed extension of time, I was staff on this project at the time when this project was approved, the original conditional use permit, so as a result, I will recuse myself from voting.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. If there's no more discussion or questions, I suppose we can go ahead with the consent calendar, can't we?
If you'd be so kind to entertain a motion to...
I will entertain a motion to adopt the minutes and the extension of time on the consent calendar.
Motion. Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? It carries. So the public hearing items will be considered next, and the Planning Commission will first hear a report from staff, and then the public hearing will be opened. The applicant will have an opportunity to speak. Next, members of the public will be allowed to speak. Anyone in the audience wishing to speak must be sworn in and also fill out a request to speak form. The forms are located on the table near the door. When your name is called, come forward and speak into the microphone. Say and spell your name and give your address for a tape record. After all have spoken, the applicant will be allowed to respond. The public hearing will then be closed and the Planning Commission will begin deliberations and actions except general plan amendments and amendments to the municipal development code are final action unless an appeal is filed and fee paid within 15 days to the community development department. If you challenge the resultant action of the planning commission in court, you may be limited to raising only those issues you or someone else raised at a public hearing described in this agenda, or in written correspondence delivered to the community development department at or prior to the public hearing. And that takes us to conditional item number three, conditional use permit 16-23. Do we have a staff report?
Yes, we do. Travis Martin, our associate planner, present that item for you, please.
Thank you, Oliver, and thank you, Chair. Item number three tonight, as mentioned, is conditional use permit 16-23. It's a request to allow the development and establishment of a new five-story hotel, approximately 83,000 square feet, 106 guest rooms. The property would be is located at 1911 South Commerce Center East. This is northeast of Commerce Center and Hospitality Lane. The property is approximately 1.2 acres, and it's located within the commercial regional and the transit district overlay. There's an aerial of the property. You can see this is Commerce Center East, just on the west side of the property in the Hospitality Lane, and here is the location of the proposed development. And then, as mentioned, it is in the commercial regional CR3 zone, as all Hospitality Lane is. There's some photos of the existing site. As the report notes, the property is currently developed just with a little small office complex, a little detached office units. This would be demolished as part of the proposed development in order to build to allow the hotel. This is the southern corner of the property. There's an old abandoned restaurant that's there. This would also be demolished as part of the project. This sits outside the scope of where the hotel would be developed, but would be part of the overall project to realign some of the on-site improvements for the hotel. As we can see, this is oriented north, is looking to the left. So you can see this would be the new hotel going in. This, you can see the outline of the old restaurant that would be demolished. What would be done with the remainder of this pad as a separate project from this item that we're looking at tonight would be to reserve it for some future commercial, potential new restaurant development, something of that sort. But it would just kind of be set, prepped as a vacant pad. There's some renderings of the proposed hotel. As you can see, quite a bit of articulation, both at the roof line and horizontally, just projections out between the different parts of the wings. This one on the top here is our east elevation. This would actually be internal on the site, so the main entry of the business would be facing the parking lot. And then we have our street frontage. This would be the whole view along Commerce Center on the bottom of the frame. And then just the side elevations, south on the left and then the north on the right. And then a larger rendering, just to give a better idea of the scale. You can see, as we noted, this significant articulation, both horizontally and vertically. All the recreation area with the pool, patio areas, fire pit, things of that sort would all be within an enclosed patio that would directly above the street, between the hotel and the sidewalk. And our recommendation this evening is to adopt the categorical exemption, which would be 15.332 for infill development projects, and approve conditional use permit 16-23 based off the findings of fact and subject to the recommended conditions of approval. Yes?
I have two questions.
Yes, please.
First, are you going to save the trees along the street there?
Let me go back and see what we have along the street there. Down along Hospitality here, These are outside of the scope of the project, so it is highly likely that they would be retained. I do understand we do have significant growth of trees there along Commerce Center that we would like to try to keep. Directly fronting the complex, I don't know, we do have the engineer for the project here this evening. They might be able to speak to that a little bit better.
Like, step up to the podium. Samuel Jacoby. I'm with R.A. Smith National, 8881 Research Drive, Irvine, California. I'm the civil engineer. My firm is also doing the lot line adjustment and landscape architecture for the client. Currently along Commerce Center, there's very mature trees on an essentially a raised little buffer there in, within the right-of-way. Per the conditions of approval, we're to construct a 6-foot wide wave directly adjacent to the curb, which would require the removal of those trees, as well as the grading as we adjust onto site.
My second question is the existing restaurant that used to be Guadalajara Harry's, right?
That's correct, yes.
Is, that's a part of the project, is that it?
It's yes. And no.
And that will be saved?
No, that would be, let me go back to the site plan and we can show here.
It's kind
of I know it's hard to, possibly to turn around being as close as we are. You can see the dashed outline here.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the existing restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
It is my understanding, I think there's maybe some issues with that building. I'm not 100% sure. I wouldn't want to speak to the building department. But that is actually proposed to be demolished as part of this in order to realign this this driveway here, because it actually is set kind of askew and further to the north. Moving that down would allow the full development, including all of the amenities for the hotel, and then with this building demolished, this area would just be left and prepped as a pad for a future developer to come in and do some other development to complement the rest of the on-site.
I've been hoping that someone would reopen Guadalajara Harry's because that was a great restaurant. H-State Go.
If I may add on, respond to your question regarding the trees along Commerce Center. We do have condition 27B, which does require more than 5 trees are removed, that they have to apply for a tree permit, tree removal permit. So part of that process is to ensure that any trees that are removed are replaced with something that's of similar aesthetics. You know, obviously it's not going to be probably not the same size, but something that's going to result in a similar effect.
We actually have several more speakers on this, 2 more speakers. Unless there's any more questions, I'll call for the speaker.
I just have a question. One question, Chair. Do we know what the name of the hotel is, or is there a brand
actually,
chain?
It's proposed to be a Staybridge Suites.
What was it called again?
Staybridge Suites.
Staybridge. So, anything else?
Question. I'm sure you've taken into account a parking for the hotel.
Yes.
But what about parking for the proposed restaurant in that spot?
It's actually been looked at as part of it. The parking on this one, because it's an integrated center, it's hard. You know, we can't just look at it as one parcel on its own. I would say I know I have that called out. I'm looking at some of the numbers. Yeah. I apologize, I don't have all of the analysis in front of me. Between the overall site, looking at the standards for the restaurant, the existing restaurant, this is the claim jumper down there,
mm-hmm.
and then looking at this building as potential restaurant use, which is the most intense that it would be, being more intense than just any retail. Considering the existing restaurant, this building as restaurant, and then the required parking just based off the room count, which is how the hotel is calculated, it is actually only 256 spaces that they require between all three, and there are 282 between the entire site. It's 3 parcels that you see over the whole center. So they do have excess of about 25 spaces based off the most rigid calculations.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? If not, I'll call speaker number 1, Heidi. I won't try to pronounce your last name. I'll let you do it.
My name is Heidi De Guzman, DEGUZMAN. I'm with Harrelson Hospitality, the applicant. Address 4255 Dean Martin Drive, Suite J, Las Vegas, Nevada. I am here to answer any questions if there are any.
No questions. I guess it's cut and dry.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Second speaker is Ambarish Mukherjee. Did I do that right?
You did it perfect.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm good evening, commissioners. I'm Ambarish Mukherjee, last name M-U-K-H-E-R-J-E-E. And I'm from LSA Associates, and I'm the traffic engineer for this project, address 1500 Iowa Avenue, Suite 200, Riverside, 92507. So if you have any questions regarding traffic, I'm here to respond to that.
I guess there are none. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So, anything else from anyone, staff? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll motion.
Second.
I'd like to make a motion that we adopt resolution number 2017-045, adopting the categorical exemption and improving condition. Conditional use permit 16-23, based on the findings of fact, and subject to the recommended conditions of approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? No. That carries. Announced. Item number four, additional use permit 17-11.
Yes, commissioners. Item number four, Elizabeth Mora Rodriguez, would present that item for you, please.
Item number four is conditional use permit 17-11. The proposed project is a wireless telecommunication facility consisting of a 62-foot tall tower, camouflaged as a church tower. There's going to be also associated ground-mounted equipment located within an 8-foot tall block wall enclosure on a parcel containing approximately 1.23 acres located at 2595 East State Street within the residential medium zone. This is the location map. This is an existing church. That is why the proposed telecommunications facility will be a church tower. It is surrounded by residential properties. This is an aerial map. To the west of that, there is county residential properties. And then to the east and south of the existing church, there is an existing mobile home park. So the wireless telecommunication facility will utilize a camouflage faux church tower design that is compatible with the existing church. The church tower will be placed to the southernmost building of the existing church, and the associated ground-mounted equipment will be at the base of the proposed church tower, and it will be painted with the concrete masonry wall to match. The access to the existing church tower is through two existing proposed driveways on East State Street, and the construction of the existing of the church tower will not deter or alter any of the internal circulation for vehicles on this site. This is looking south on the existing church on East State Street. This is looking to the north on East State Street to the residential neighborhood. And this is looking to the east to the mobile home park on East State Street. This is an existing site plan. The church tower is going to be right here to the southernmost part of the existing church. This is the elevations, the west elevation and the south elevation. And then this is the elevations as well. I did provide a rendering of how the church tower is going to look before the construction and after. So this is the church tower as the existing site, and this is after the design is in place with the existing church. And this is another view from the southernmost part of the property. The planning division recommends the approval for the Planning Commission to adopt resolution number 2017-46, adopting the categorical exemption and approving conditional use permit 17-11 based on findings of fact and subject to the recommended conditions of approval.
Any questions? I have one. I'm not sure what the superstructure is going to be made of. What kind of a framework is it?
It's going to be concrete masonry.
Concrete block all the way up?
Yes, it's going to be a concrete block. Well, I do have the designer here. If you have any questions,
okay.
I'll provide that information.
Any questions from the commission?
Yeah, just one. Did you collaborate with the church to make this design? It's kind of unique, actually. It fits right in with the whole building.
Yeah.
You know, you can't even tell, no one would know except us now that it is a tower.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of unique. You know, I've seen a lot of them. They're all, you know, palm trees or something out in the middle of nowhere. But this one's kind of unique.
Yeah.
How'd you come up with that?
Yeah.
Can I speak?
Sure.
Viper Plus with you, it's a design that we just finished one in Victorville. I've actually got photos of it on my phone. So it's almost an identical design to the one we just did in Victorville, but with the exterior of it matching the church here in Highland, which is a stucco exterior as opposed to a block wall.
Mm-hmm. Are you Chris?
This is Chris.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
sir. I have a speaker slip for Chris, so I'll entertain your presentation.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Chris Colton, Colten. My address is 4405 East Airport Drive, Suite 100, Ontario, California, 91761. I'm with Spectrum Services on behalf of TowerCom, the applicant, and also Verizon Wireless, the carrier. To answer your first question, you talked about the tower itself. It is not masonry because it would not structurally hold up if it was masonry from top to bottom. We have the top portion, imagine from 30 feet up to 60, because the roof line is 2 feet, that's made out of a radio RF friendly design. What that is a fiberglass that we can shoot the antennas through, because without that we wouldn't be able to operate the antennas. And then the lower level, it's about a 6 or 7 stage material process we successfully use in Victorville. It's referred to by an acronym, and I'm sorry I'm not in building, so I don't have a lot of details, but it's called the EFIS system, and it combines several different building materials, which we'll have during our plan check to make sure we pass muster and building code. And then it will be all finished on the outside. They have a great person with the general contractor who will get a design that's compatible, so it blends in with the existing church, as you saw. We've reviewed the conditions of approval with Verizon Wireless and TowerCom. And there was some items that I went over with staff that appeared to be some typos. Did you want to incorporate those?
Yeah, there was a couple of items that may have been duplicated within the resolution that we would want to have those extra items removed. I can go over those with you. Okay, so we do have item number 4 with item number 14, the operation of the antenna shall not cause for interference with any electrical equipment in the surrounding neighborhoods. And in other words, television, radio, telephone, computer, inclusive of the city's trunk 800 MHS Z public safety radio system, or with the police or fire department communications equipment, unless exempted by the federal regulations. If notified by a city official that antenna is creating interference with public safety communications, the use of the antenna shall cease immediately and remain out of use until problem is resolved. That item number 4, and then item number 14 is the exact same item, and we would like to include item number 14. since it's the exact same condition of approval. As well, there was also item number 13 and item number 19. It's also a duplication of the conditions of approval, and that is for the submittal requirements for a permit application with Land Development and Building and Safety Divisions shall include all conditions of approval issued with this approval printed on the plan sheets. That is also a duplicate condition of approval, so we would like to remove one of those items as well. And then the other item was, item number 3 and item number 16 is also another duplication, so my apologies about that. As the applicant shall ensure that communications tower and related equipment shall be removed within 3 months after the use is abandoned. So we would like to exclude one of those conditions and just apply the one, since they are duplications of the existing conditions. There was a typo under the conditions of approval for the fire department, and that was a typo on my end, and that was for fencing, walls, or carports shall obstruct fire department access to fire hydrants and property. And that actually should read shall not.
Good.
Noted.
That was all the items, so my apologies on that.
Does the applicant have more?
Yes, thank you, Commissioner. Thank you very much, Elizabeth.
You're
just
welcome.
Just to add on that, I believe there was a typo in the incorrect CUP number and condition of approval number 7.
Oh, yes. Condition number 7, it should read conditional use permit 17-11, not 16-07. So that was a typo on my behalf that we would amend as well for the resolution.
Anything else?
Thank you very much. I would just like to compliment staff. They did a great job bringing this item in a timely fashion. We really appreciate that. Great help by both the planner, Elizabeth, and also Travis, who helped me with my application. So I'd like to thank them. I'm here and available for any questions you may have at this time.
I believe the Commissioner had a question.
Yeah, I'm just curious, the finished surface on the outside, you got the EVIS down below and then the fiberglass above, what, how do you match the two up?
That's a great question. You want to speak to Mike?
Sure.
This is Mark Napko. He's a VP at TowerCom, who is the applicant who will be involved in building the tower.
Good evening, Chair and Commissioners, and thank you for allowing me to speak. On the exterior, what we do is, as Chris said, the top half, 30 to 62 feet, are fiberglass panels wrapped around four sides, and then the contractors will match EVIS panels underneath it, so it'll all be smooth going up. The panels will be delivered by the tower company, raw and unfinished, and then a subcontractor will do, in this case, it would be essentially a stucco coat all the way top to bottom, one application.
So a synthetic stucco will go all the
exactly.
way.
Exactly.
Okay.
This church has a stucco exterior. The one in Victorville is a block exterior, so that's block top to bottom. One other thing I did want to address, too, is you asked about the superstructure itself. It's steel. It's a complete steel erector set. Four piers that will probably be 3 feet by 12-foot diameter four times, and steel all the way up. It's a very intense structure. It's actually quite incredible to see built. We just went through one just like it, so I can tell you it's a pretty interesting structure, but it is a fully steel structure all the way top to bottom.
I'm glad to hear that. I was afraid it was going to blow away.
No, it's not going to. It's, we have to rate everything for the highest wind ratings and, ice if it existed, but it doesn't here, of course. So it's a very, very well engineered, very well built structure. Any other questions on the design?
I have a question. I agree with Commissioner Ebley. I always want to say Able. That this is a unique and interesting project. When I first saw it in the agenda, I was really impressed with it. And I want to ask a question that is sort of half jest and half series. Have you ever considered putting an electronic gong in that bell tower? the hours every day.
I'll be honest with you. You know, I haven't done one like that, but there are projects that are done where an existing church steeple with bell is, you know, but they're taken off essentially. We actually looked at doing one of those, I think, in Loma Linda. We started with a project in Loma Linda that way, where the existing steeple is taken off the bell, and it would have been replaced with the working bell. And there are a lot of things that are done like that,
yeah,
that end up being functional after the fact, is, yeah, in addition to aesthetic.
I think it'd be a nice touch.
Right. And if that's what it required to get it done, we would do it. Obviously, we prefer not to, but we do whatever it takes to get it done, so we can do it. Yes. Any other questions?
You have.
You've answered my questions. I think it's a terrific project, and I agree it'd be interesting if you could put some sort of chime in there to go along with the church. You know.
I think the church would appreciate it.
Yeah.
Call them to Sunday school, for instance.
I can say one thing. I don't know if Chris is going to say this. One of the big no-nos, these towers, like Chris said, the panels that surround it at the antenna levels themselves are very expensive, and they're, you know, we call them fiberglass, but they're really more than that. They're called FRP, and I don't know what all the words mean. But one of the very, very big no-nos is any sort of metal whatsoever. So the fasteners themselves are actually high-performance nylon-type fasteners. So anything at that level where the antennas are, there is no metal at that level. So if there was a bell, for example, and we're near it, yeah, it's just there ends up being challenges. We call it form follows function. So we have to make it work first. If we can pretty up after the fact and throw some bells in, we'll look at doing that.
So the framing would be fiberglass or something of that nature up around where the antennas are at?
By the time you get
to eliminate all the steel?
Right. Actually, what happens is it's steel all the way up four sides, in the ground all the way up four sides, up to about 30 feet. And then at that point, there is a regular pole, a monopole, mast on a platform at that point. It goes right up the center of it, so everything that's mounted to the mast up is looking out, so all it sees is fiberglass. So there's no metal on the outside of it. It's all up to 30 feet, and then it's steel on the inside.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else? Any other questions? I guess that does it.
Thank you.
Thank you very
much.
Appreciate your time. So I'll entertain a motion.
I would like to make a motion to adopt resolution number 2017-046, adopting the categorical exemption and approving conditional use permit 17-11, based on the finding of fact and subject to the recommended conditions of approval, including the revisions that needed to be made that were stated on the record.
And that would be the elimination of conditions numbers 14, 16, and 19. Thank you.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. No. Those who oppose, say no. Motion carries. And that brings us to item number 5, subdivision number 14-10. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item number five is subdivision 14-10 for tentative tract map 19908 and developmental permit type D 14-19. The proposed project is a request to allow for a subdivision of a parcel containing approximately 2.04 acres into 6 single-family residential lots, ranging in size from 11,350 square feet to 19,890 square feet, and to allow the construction of 6 two-story single-family residences, along with the construction of the required on-site and off-site improvements. This is a location of where the property is at. There is some residential located to the west and to the south of that, with a vacant lot as well as flood control channel to the east of that. It's located within the residential low zoning. The proposed project consists of two home plans ranging between 2,377 square feet and 2,409 square feet on alternating lots. Each proposed home would have three elevations for each home plan to create a visual variety. The development does meet the city's code standards and guidelines for residential development. The single family residential will also meet the setback requirements within each of the lots that are created. Additionally, there is a 15-foot wide trail easement along the eastern boundary that will be consistent with the draft trails master plan for the Vermont area. The lot 6 layout and elevation will further refine and approve will be further refined and approved by the director as a condition in order to accommodate the trail along that area. This is the tentative track map. This is an existing site of how all the lots will be separated and divided. And this is the proposed site plan for the development of the homes and each elevation in terms of how they're going to be set up within the properties and meeting all the residential development requirements as well as the setback requirements for the property. This is the conceptual landscaping plan that will be part of the property design. These are the elevations for the proposed two-story single-family residential lots, and as well as the floor plans for each, the first and the second floor. So they do incorporate a contemporary Mediterranean architecture within the design of each of the residences. And these are the various proposals in terms of the different types of plans. This is north, looking on Olive Avenue on the site. This is looking south on Olive Avenue. And the recommendation of Planning Division staff is for the Planning Commission to adopt resolution number 2017-017, adopting the categorical exception and approving subdivision 14-10 for tentative tract map 19908 and development permit type D 14-19 based on findings of fact and subject to the conditions of approval. If you do have any questions, I do have the applicants here available for any questions as well.
Any questions? If not, we can call Nancy Fong to speak on this.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the Planning Commission staff. Happy to be here and excited that the project is finally before the Planning Commission for consideration with the help of staff. Thank you. We have read the staff report and the conditions of approval, and we are in agreement with it. And I'm here to answer any questions you may have.
Just have a comment. I would like to thank you for agreeing to the trail.
Definition
up there. That means a lot to some people that live in that neighborhood. They've worked on it a long, long time, and it kind of went by the wayside. But to agree to that, to leave the 15-foot trail, thank you very much for doing that.
You're welcome.
That's a lot of the residents up there like to hike around up there, and it makes the aesthetics look a lot better. Thank you.
Right. Anyone else? I just want to make a comment. I think this is a very nice development.
Thank you. I think it would be a
beautiful
addition to
the area.
Neighborhood.
So if there are no further questions.
Mr. Chairman, just want to make a statement. Yes. I need to recuse myself from this item again. So
we still have a quorum.
Yes, we do.
Oh,
Okay, so I will entertain a motion on this.
I'd like to make a motion to adopt resolution number 2017-017, adopting the categorical exemption and approving development permit type D 14-19 and subdivision 14-10, tentative track map 19908, based on the findings of fact and subject to the recommended conditions of approval.
I'll second that. We have a motion and a second. Those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Say no. Motion carries. So we're ready for item number six.
Item number six is subdivision 17-01 for tentative track map 20051 and development permit type D 17-04. The project is the request to allow for the subdivision of 2.8 acres into eight single-family residential lots, ranging in size from 11,918 square feet to 12,707 square feet, and also the construction of eight single-family residences, along with the construction of the required on-site and off-site improvements. The residences will also consist of one and two stories, that's going to be part of the project development. The property is located on the north side of West Ohio Avenue, east of Chestnut Avenue, as seen here in the location map. The property is within the residential low zone. The project consists of two home plans, 2,895 square feet and 2,367 square feet on alternating lots. They are going to propose four elevations designs to create some visual variety, and the development does intend to meet all the residential development code requirements as it relates to lot size and setback requirements. This is the tentative tract map, which shows the division of the parcels into eight separate parcels with their own independent cul-de-sac streets going to each of the properties. This is the floor plan for the variant elevations. This is going to be plan A and as well plan B. This is a proposed landscaping for the development of each of the individual residences. This is not looking north from Ohio Avenue onto the vacant property. And this is looking northeast and southwest corner of the site. With that, the Planning Division recommends that the Planning Commission adopt resolution number 2017-043, adopting the categorical exemption and approving subdivision 17-11 for tentative track map 20051 and development permit type D 17-04 based on findings of fact and subject to the conditions of approval. I do have the developer here if you have any additional questions in terms of the project.
Good question. One question.
Do we have, how many single story and how many two stories are going to be out of those eight?
They're all essentially single-story homes. Just
Are you Chris?
Yes, I'm Chris.
Sorry.
Good evening, Commission. My name's Chris Plount, P like Paul, L-O-U-N-T. My address is 1107 West 9th Street, Upland, California, 91786. I'm a representative of J.E. Plount & Company and Country Oaks Properties, and I want to thank the Commission for considering our project. This is the first development that we've pursued in the city of San Bernardino, and so far we've been very pleased with the process, and we have some other property in the city, and we look forward to continuing our good relationship with the city. and I'd like to answer any questions that you have. Back to the question with how many are single-story and how many are two-story. They're all essentially single-story plans. They just have a bonus room upstairs in four of the homes. There's essentially two floor plans, and we flipped them.
Any questions?
Mine is maybe for the staff, maybe just for my education. This is up on the outer edge of development, right? And what is required as far as fire safety in that area? It might be different than the rest of town.
In terms of the fire safety, the fire department did review the project, and they did indicate I'm not sure exactly in terms of the requirement additional, but I do believe they do have in terms of material that they have to do for the type of construction that they do in terms of the properties because of the high fire area. There also has to be a difference in terms of maintenance for the proposed landscaping, making sure that there's not overgrown weeds, there's not certain types of plants that may be susceptible to fire that they have to accommodate for in terms of that type of development.
I have a question. I noticed that you're developing the street to the center line of Chestnut. I'm wondering about drainage and off-site grading to, you know, divert the drainage from the street. Are there any plans for that?
Yeah, they're in the conditions of approval. We have to construct, you know, curb and gutter, and then we have to put in a detention basin to hold water on the property, and the water that is discharged goes through a culvert that we have to relocate onto Ohio.
Do you have a plan that shows that detention basin?
There might be a picture of it.
I believe I do. I would have to pull it out of the folder.
It's not on the track map?
Let me go and verify.
Or where you can put it.
Yeah. Is that off of Ohio? Central
Ohio, would be over here.
Well, it couldn't be over there. That's improved. Yeah.
Well, I think they're connected to two.
Where exactly would that basin be?
It would probably more than likely be a proposal.
Yeah, on each of the lots, there's going
right
to be a retention basin.
Would it? Yeah.
Where would it drain?
That's basically. I don't. These plans are too small for me to see right here.
I don't see how. There's not enough room for a basin and a house. You can either have a basin or a house.
Thank you for your patience.
This is my father. He's the owner of Jayden Plowman Company. He'd like to respond to your question if you may.
Sure, man.
Thank you. Do I need to be sworn in?
Yes. Okay. Do you solemnly affirm that the testimony you are about to give before this body will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
If so, please say
I do.
I do. Thank you.
All right, thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt, but There, you will not find a design of these basins on the track map. It's going to be incorporated into the grading plan that normally does, consistent with the water quality management plan and the storm water pollution prevention plan. It's all incorporated into a grading plan that's not reflected on that tentative track map. But in each condition, each lot, we will have incorporated into the grading plan a design to retain each lot's discharge before it enters the idea is to retain as much water as possible so it doesn't discharge into the storm drain system. What Chris was referring to is that the overall design of the property incorporates curbs, gutters, sidewalk, consistent with appropriate engineering design, and we're going to be required to relocate an existing storm drain culvert to accommodate what you see proposed. But as it relates to stormwater and water quality, the reason those lots are designed the way they are is to accommodate the design of a retention area, or I should say, it's really not retaining, it's retaining the water on the property so it can seep down into the aquifer. That's the design as explained to me by the engineering consultant. There has been, to get to this point, a preliminary plan presented and has been reviewed by staff that brought us, as part of what brought us to this point in time and to your attention. But does that clarify your concerns?
Sort of. I just don't see enough room on those lots for a retention basin.
If I might. I think at this scale, on the side of a single lot, it's more like a swale. It's just a shallow depression.
It's a drainage area that discharges into an underground structure on each lot to accommodate the retention of water discharge from those hard surfaces that are going to be created by building those houses.
Okay, so to add on, the site does flow downward
towards
Ohio.
Ultimately, yes, but as the pads are created, they draw to each of the cul-de-sacs, and then each of the cul-de-sacs then drain down Chestnut to Ohio. What you're going to be realizing, as I've been advised by the consultants and engineers, is stormwater on those street surfaces, not from the individual lots. And I would presume the other subdivision would have the same consideration as well, in light of the law, state law, requiring the water quality management plans that are associated with each of these subdivisions in the state.
I do want to add that what usually occurs is that the detention is actually built in within the landscape of the
Yes, that's
property.
Exactly correct.
Yes, so it will be incorporated within that landscaping.
Okay. We have another speaker, Steve. I can't...
Uhas?
I think it's Uhas.
Name is Steve Uhas, Y-U-H-A-S. I live on 6800 North Acina Street, San Bernardino, California, 92407. My biggest concern is about the dust and the walls that... Are you going to have walls that go around the property? And what type of walls are they?
Concrete masonry.
Okay.
As well as wrought iron dividing the properties, but around the perimeter will be concrete masonry.
With wrought iron in between?
No. Is it the back wall? The back portion will be strictly concrete.
This portion right here.
To answer your question, sir, there exists on the property now wrought iron in between masonry columns on the east side of the property.
Right.
That will continue to our property line and
to
the north. From the north, all the way around to the west and all the way down around on Ohio, there's going to be a concrete masonry wall very similar to that which exists along Ohio. And the landscaping plan incorporates vegetation to grow on those walls to eliminate any potential graffiti.
That's fine.
You bet. It's going to be great.
It's great, yeah. Okay, what about the dust control?
Our requirement is to maintain dust procedures, minimum dust procedures, primarily through a rainbird system during any grading operation and during the construction process. And of course, signage will notify everyone in the area who's responsible for that, which would be this gentleman here, and you will contact us directly if there's a problem.
Make sure I get his number.
we've come to this city with considerable experience with these smaller developments, because that's what we do in other areas. We take a lot of pride in them. They take pride in maintaining relations with our neighbors. In fact, many of them become our salespeople. So, there you have it.
Okay, all my questions been answered.
And mine too, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? I just have one comment. I think it's
Well, when's it going to start?
As soon as those guys right there say yes. All
right.
Yeah, I think this is a very nice development. Nice addition to the area.
Yeah.
Any further comments or questions? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion. The Planning Commission adopt resolution number 2017-043, adopting categorical exemption, approving development permit type D 17-04 and subdivision 17-01, tentative map track 20051, based on the findings of fact and subject to the recommended conditions of approval.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The motion carries. Item number 7.
I want to thank the commission. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank,
thank
you.
Thank you for doing business today.
We'll give Elizabeth a break now. We'll let Chantal do the next one.
If you need something.
Item number 7 is for development permit type P 17-01. The project currently contains an existing steel fabrication facility with an existing 6,500 square foot office and an existing 6,300 square foot industrial building where most of the fabrication currently occurs. There's also on-site two additional steel buildings that are used for some storage. Those will be demolished during the project. And the proposal is to build a new 82,890 square foot new industrial building, which will, the primary purpose of this is not to expand current operations, but rather to contain operations that are currently occurring outdoors within a structure. So you'll have all of the outdoor storage that's taking place will be inside a building, and also some of the trucks, the building is designed so that the trucks can drive right into the building and be loaded inside of the building. So. Again, just to reiterate, that's the primary purpose of this new building is to contain operations that are currently existing outdoors on site. The site is located at 1212 South Mountain View Avenue. That's on the southwest corner of Riverview Drive and Mountain View Avenue within the industrial heavy IH zone. The property is primarily surrounded by other industrial uses. It's within the industrial heavy zone. You've got the city of Redlands across the street with, I believe, a water treatment facility. South of the site, we do have residentially zoned properties with some existing residents on the southeast side, southwest side of the property. As you can see, from the aerial view. So in closing, those operations will be a benefit to the existing residential uses and any potential residential uses that may come in the future on the south side of that property. Additionally, there will be some landscaping, a 10-foot landscape buffer added on the south side of that property as an additional buffer for any future residential development. And you can see the site plan as proposed. The existing building is this building on the north part of the property and the small office on the east side of the property. and this will be the new building enclosing all of those outdoor operations. And just a basic floor plan. There won't be any high pile storage. There will be some storage in this building, but it won't be high pile. Here's our elevations. So the new building is going to be made of concrete tilt-up. There's going to be some paint scheme and materials added to the building and to the existing steel building to tie the two together architecturally. And here's some photos of the site. This is looking from about the corner of Riverview Drive and Mountain View, looking southwest, looking southeast from the eastern side of the property. This is looking west from Mountain View Avenue, also west a little further south on the site, and then looking northwest from the southern portion of the site. So this empty field here is part of where the new building will be. Planning Division's recommendation is that the Planning Commission adopt resolution number 2017-048, adopting the mitigated negative declaration pursuant to 15074 for consideration and adoption of mitigated negative declaration of CEQA, and approving development permit type P17-01 based on the findings of fact and subject to condition.
Any questions? Comments? We have the developer, architect here, Carl Vander something.
Yeah, I'm Carl Vanderhoek.
Vander Post?
Hoek.
Hoek.
V-A-N-D-E-R-H-O-E-K. I'm with MM Architect Services. I live at 4109 East Fernwood Avenue in Orange, California. And I'm here to help answer any questions that might come up.
Apparently there aren't any questions.
Great.
It's going to make it look a lot nicer. I know where that property is, and it's...
Yes.
Definitely going to improve what it looks like now to on that corner.
And greatly improve their operations, too.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
I'll entertain a motion if there are no further questions.
I can make a motion that the Planning Commission adopt resolution number 2017-48, adopting the categorical exemption and approving development permit type D, 17-01, based on the finding facts and subject to the recommended conditions of approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Motion carries.
Chip. Chair, Deputy City Attorney Stephen Graham. The motion that I heard, I think the recommended motion, was adopting a categorical exemption. Staff report said mitigated negative.
It is a mitigated negative declaration. It was an initial study.
My recommendation is to amend the motion to adopt a mitigated negative declaration.
Okay, I amend that.
Yeah, it's written down as categorical exemption.
Right.
But it should have read mitigated negative declaration.
I amend the motion to be consistent with that.
Okay, thank you.
Second.
Yeah.
Do we need to? Need a free vote?
I would recommend that you vote on that amended motion.
Those in favor of the change, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? No. It carries. And that brings us to non-public hearing items. Item number 8 is a study session. Thank you.
Chair, item 8 tonight, as you mentioned, is identified as a study session. Actually looking to change that proposal just a little bit. There's some additional time taken, and as we all know, we've been working for a fair amount of time on the update to our development code. And we mentioned last week we're starting a new schedule. We're bringing, you know, 2 to 3 chapters of the code or sections of the code every month, just as we start to compile the document for your review. What we're looking at tonight is the first 3 chapters. There's actually 4 sections, just because I gave just kind of a portion of the table of contents, just so we have kind of an overview of all the chapters we're looking at now in their full order. And then the first 3 chapters, which are the general requirements, kind of the establishment of the code, and the authorities, and things of that sort. The outline of all the zoning districts, including all the specific plans and overlays, and the changes we'll be proposing to those. And then the administration and procedures, which establishes the review authorities, including our commission, and the process, which will review applications, notice, hold hearings, and the rest. What we're actually looking to do this evening is not hold a formal discussion on the items, because we know, like, we could give everyone a couple minutes to read through it, but that might be a little tough. So we're actually proposing to set up maybe a separate meeting sometime in 2 to 3 weeks, just so we can sit down and go through these. You know, maybe an hour or so. We'll start with that, just so we can get some more in-depth comments after giving everyone a chance to really review the document. And then in the following meetings, you know, hopefully there we can get the other documents out sooner so that we'll be able to have discussions, possibly at the commission meetings, possibly on separate meetings. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how the first one goes. We're proposing sometime the week of July 24th or the 31st, so the end of July, maybe beginning of August. I know we're missing a few commissioners tonight, so, you know, certainly we'd like to involve them as well, because we welcome their comments. What we're thinking is we can have Melina send out just an email to everybody, you know, maybe in the next day or two, just to kind of give some options of times, knowing we have other meetings we have to work around, and kind of take a poll and see if there's a good time to set something up.
Question. In your study session of January 1st, I think, not 2015, January 7th, 2015, mm-hmm. you recommended hiring Ecoterra.
Ecoterra, yes.
Pardon me?
Yes, Ecoterra is our consultant.
And they, did they work on this?
Yes, they've been assisting us.
Will they be involved in the workshop?
Typically, we haven't had them coming to the workshops, but we certainly could.
So, if I may, Commissioner, our goal is that, you know, we've been working on this for a while, and so the previous workshops that we've had, it kind of been more general, broad stroke in nature. These are the areas that we're looking at. These are some suggested procedures, policies, and those kinds of things. We are now at a point where we fine-tune the schedule, and so our goal is every commission meeting to present you with a group of chapters or sections, with the goal of having this be combined and completed by the end of the year or thereabouts for formal recommendation from the commission to the council. What I was going to make one of my later announcements is we are in the process of moving again, and so it kind of delayed some of our times, and our goal originally for this item was to transmit it to you a couple of weeks in advance so that you would have some time to review it. It was plenty of time prior to tonight's meeting. Unfortunately, we weren't able to do that, so we're asking that that we give consideration to, you know, help us catch up a little bit, to have maybe a special meeting in between today's meeting and the August meeting. As it relates to our consultant, they played a critical role in a lot of the assembly and research of what are some of the practices in other communities and cities. And so from a standpoint of economy of scale kind of a thing, Travis has been spending a lot of the bulk of the hour kind of compiling and being the, you know, kind of the wordsmith on this and putting the package together. I think he's done a fine job on that. And so again, at this point, we don't feel that there's a need to bring that consulting firm in or that individual come in just for the discussion purposes. If there are questions, we can always go back and see if there's additional help that we can get. So to our goals.
I would add to that just to say, I think, you know, as Oliver mentioned, the consultant's been more of the technical assistance on a lot of it. Obviously, you know, we're not the only one doing things. They help do a lot of that research. Really, the changes that we're proposing, you know, a lot of the updates, consolidations, you know, a lot of the refinement is really coming from the direct above staff. So, you know, having our department there, I think will be sufficient to address those concerns. You know, where we didn't go out, we specifically tailored this and wanted this to be something that was, you know, originated here. We're the ones using it. This is where it's going to work. We didn't want somebody else coming in just to say this is how you should do it. So we don't really, that hasn't been the relationship with how it's been put together.
One other question. Will these documents be on your website, the development code?
Yes, we will get them up on the website, as we've done with the other drafts. As Oliver mentioned, you know, we've been working on a little bit of a short schedule, but certainly I will work with Melina either tomorrow morning to get that put up so that we do have it before the end of the week. So if any commissioners would also like to review it online, you know, we'll have it that way as well.
One more question.
Yep.
We were told before we started meeting in this building that we would need a badge.
Oh, yeah.
I never got one.
You had to go to HR to get it?
I did. I had my picture.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh.
But their equipment was down.
They just called me last week and said it's up and running. Yeah.
Did
recently.
You get yours?
Not yet. I still need to. It was like
they have been a little slow. we hired a new employee and it took about 3 weeks to get the badge. So it may take a little bit.
Okay. Just curious.
Yeah. I just found that out.
We'll always open the door.
I have a question and a comment. I apologize. I've been out of the country off and on for the last couple of months. But prior to that, about the first of the year, we were working with a company out of, I think, Pasadena that was working on our sign code.
Yes, and we still are.
Okay, and that's still going on?
That's going to be the next meeting. That's the goal, too. We're catching up on both.
We actually have that built in, I think. I don't have a copy of the memo that Mark distributed at the last meeting where we outlined the kind of the plan for what we'll be presenting over 3 months. I believe it's October we have set to go through the sign ordinance.
Okay.
That's still a tandem project, but it's being isolated as its own component.
Terrific.
But that is still moving forward. Sean Paul's been doing
I'd like to thank you for giving us an opportunity to bring some of the people from the community and the Chamber of Commerce in to discuss that with the consultants also.
If I'm not mistaken, isn't there intention to do that again? Or
I believe we're planning on doing that one more time.
Yes.
But
I don't recall
the date that we have set for that right off the top of my head, but it should be in the next month or two.
Okay.
I think we're now getting, for that portion, and I don't want to speak for Chantal's project, but I think we're now getting to the point of getting the actual regulations themselves, the real meat of the document put together, so that would then be a good opportunity to sit with everyone again, as we're doing with the other chapters with yourself. That'll be coming in a few months as that's prepared.
So with that, if you'd like, we could, like Travis mentioned, we'll send an email in the next couple of days and kind of see what the availability is, and we'll keep you posted. But we are looking kind of the last couple of weeks in July, so we can stay on target.
Give us a chance.
Yeah. How long would you anticipate this workshop to last?
I would leave that to the kind of the discretion of the commission. I would say I know we did when we did the one last summer. I know we did 2 hours. I think that we started to run a little light on content. I think as it got towards the end, but somewhere hour, maybe not 60 to 90 minutes, I think is a good ballpark.
Would you do it night or in the day?
It would be probably in the like our commission meeting times.
Okay.
Probably in the evening, just for the sake of everyone's schedules. I know we all have other things going on, so.
Okay.
But we'll send out something and just kind of we'll see what works.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That brings us to public comments. See, we have no public, so we're probably no public.
We had a big crowd tonight.
Yeah, it was good. So, Planning Commission reports or announcements? Hearing none, I'll call for the director's report.
Yes, thank you. As I mentioned a little earlier, we are in the process of moving again. And so we found that out on Monday. And originally it was going to be, we were going to be moving next Monday over this weekend. And now we found that we need to be out by Thursday. So that's, so there's a lot of moving parts here. We are going to be moving this building actually on this floor behind this chamber here. So so that'll be nice. Air conditioning will be very welcomed. So just wanted to give you an update that we are moving. So announcements are getting ready to give to the public that we moved again. So we ask for that patience as well. We do have our regular major projects list that I can pass out to you. So that'll be online, God willing, by the end of this week, so we can download it. I think our system's going to be shut down after tomorrow afternoon. So we got some things to get on, but we'll, certainly by next week it'll be on our website.
I have a question about your project. Maybe.
Okay.
Is everybody coming from that building out over here?
Yes.
All the departments, community, the five that were listed in the newspaper. So you're all going to come over here.
I don't think it's going to be all of us in this building. It's going to be.
Everyone will be leaving that building.
Yes, they're leaving that building. So there's three of us there now.
Yes.
Three groups.
I do have a question about your project list.
Please.
When it was updated in June, two items were added in the middle of the spreadsheet, and two items were dropped off the end. One of them was MUP something. I think it might have been yours or Mary's.
A minor use permit for, are you able to?
Yeah, I don't see it on here. It was next to the last on the one previous to the June 1st revision. And there was an SP also. The last one was an SP, and it was missing.
Yes.
I just wanted to suggest that when you add things to this list, you put them on the end rather than in the middle, because they're easier to track. And I also want to find out about when these projects are finished, are they going to be taken off the list at some point?
What we do is once the building is completed, certificate of occupancy, we don't generally try to leave it on there for a month or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then remove it. This kind of been a living document, you know, for us, and a lot of it, you know, it's supposed to be a tool, just, you know, so people know what's going on. We attend the neighborhood association meetings, you know, on a regular basis, and so what we do is we will take this, and if we're at a meeting and Mr. Everly's been at a couple of them. Mm-hmm. That I've attended in the third ward, as an example, and what we'll do is we'll highlight in yellow all those projects that are in the third ward. So we do that as we go from ward to ward, so we're able to highlight those, so those in attendance can easily pick out what's going on in their particular part of the city. But then we're also, one of the things that we've discussed is now that the economy and such starting to get a little bit better, a lot of these tracks, residential developments, we're noticing are now starting to getting ready to kick in, and so we've talked about adding those subdivisions back onto this list, so now people can monitor and see where homes are going to be starting to be built. So that's another item that we're looking in terms of items that are added in the middle or what have you. Again, it's alphabetical, so if it's a conditional use permit, if it's a new one, it'll obviously be within the C's, mm-hmm. and it'd be the last one, and so forth. And so there, you know, again, it's a living document, and certainly anything that you feel may be helpful to yourselves and the community that needs to make, where we need to make adjustments, you know, please, by all means, we welcome those comments and feedback. And again, it'll be that time of the month again. We have our third Thursdays next week. So bring your appetite, come on, and bring your portable air conditioning if you have it.
Yeah, sure.
I'll bring you a fan.
Yeah, with that, that completes my my report, and we're for adjournment, if you'd be so kind.
Any other comments, questions, or anything? I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I make that motion, we adjourn.
Second.
You have a second? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Nope.